Good morning, everyone. Ellen asked me if I would be willing to share with you for a few minutes about some of the challenges and opportunities within consumer horticulture and with the Master Gardener program from a funding perspective. So this is going to be a little bit of what I'm going to share with you. This actually started in 2012 with a grantsmanship workshop that USDA sponsored in Atlanta. I'll talk about that for a few minutes. That led to the discussion within our group about some potential proposal ideas. Then that led to an actual search for funding by folks on our team, discussing some funding ideas, potential sources. I'm going to share with you at Ellen's request, so if you don't like this part, you can blame her, a little bit about some of the novel sources of funding that we've used in Virginia, including an endowment process that we put in place for our state coordinator position. And then I want to make this a little bit interactive and ask you and poll you for the benefit of this team of people that are here, and I may call you out in a few minutes, but an interactive part where you all discuss some of the novel sources that you've used in your state. So back in 2012, there was a group of us that met. We had representatives from Alabama, Georgia, Florida, North Carolina, Kentucky, Virginia. We had also invited someone from Tennessee, but there was a change in personnel, and Tennessee wasn't represented. So there were a good six or seven states within the southern region that came together around a consumer horticulture idea and went through this grantsmanship workshop that is sponsored by USDA. And how many of you have participated in that event? I know the folks that participated with our group. Okay, I would encourage you to check that out, because even though it's 2 years out and we still haven't had a funded project, the process of getting to where we are today, I think, has been of great value, at least for me. And that was the genesis of the working group that we're going to talk about here in just a few minutes. So after we left Atlanta, we started setting up some conference calls. We've had fairly regular conference calls since then, and this is the challenge of horticulture. It covers such a gamut of topics that trying to focus in on a single topic area was one of the initial challenges that our group had. Because if you look at the cross-section of the people that were represented there, it was pretty broad. So we've discussed everything from health to nutrition to horticulture in its broadest sense, water quality and soil safety as potential areas where we could focus our efforts and try to develop a proposal in this area of consumer horticulture. After we had the brainstorming, we all left with a charge. Each of us that were on the conference call were left with a charge to go out and research some potential sources of funding for a project in one of those topic areas that I just mentioned. So within USDA, we were looking at the Specialty Crop Research Initiative through AFRI. One of our team members was looking into SARE proposals. We looked at the National Institute of Health, the CDC, for potential funding sources. One of our team members from Alabama was looking into the environmental education grant RFAs from EPA. The Organic Research Initiative was another topic that came up. And we also were looking outside of government funding and looking into foundations that would support similar type work that what we thought might be a good focus for our group. And the Gates Foundation was the one that was looked into. So this is going to go really fast, Alan. So I hope you all have a lot to say about your novel approaches in your state. Within Virginia, I've had a couple of great opportunities through some atypical, what I would consider some atypical sources for funding for horticulture. The first one, when I started in Virginia in 2004, I inherited a grant project through the U.S. Department of Interior National Park Service on developing a resource for composting, but it was geared toward the intent of dealing with wild and urban fires, how to mitigate that. So see if you can make a connection between composting and firewise landscaping. It's a bit of a leap, but the intent was we have a lot of National Park Service property in Virginia, and they're not always viewed as a good neighbor by the private landowners. So the National Park Service was trying to come up with a way of being a good neighbor without it sounding like it was Big Brother coming in telling people how to manage their land. And we have, believe it or not, we have a lot of wildland urban fires in Virginia. It's not what you would immediately think about, but actually even with this wet spring that we just had, we had a very heavy fire season. So the Park Service actually approached us and said, could you all develop this resource to encourage homeowners to figure out ways to deal with their waste products coming off of their landscapes other than just burning the debris? So that's where we got into composting, reducing, reusing, recycling the plant materials that's coming off their landscapes that would typically get burned and potentially lead to wildland fires. So a bit of a leap there, but that developed into a great relationship with the National Park Service, and we had a second grant, six-figure grant, to develop essentially a layman's guide on, we call it Smart Yard Care. And it covers everything from native species to dealing with wildlife in the landscape to, again, how to deal with all of this waste material coming off your landscape in a way other than burning it. So that was an interesting project that lasted for a couple, 3 years from beginning to end. One that's current right now and has been for, we actually started a couple years ago, our Department of Conservation and Recreation is the agency actually that has recently switched over to Department of Environmental Quality, is responsible for our urban nutrient management and dealing with sediments and nutrients getting into the Chesapeake Bay. And we have an approach, and I know there are other states that are doing something similar. We're engaging master gardeners and helping homeowners develop urban nutrient management plans for their residential lawn. And this has developed into a very good relationship. It's essentially EPA money that's flowing through our state agencies. It's coming to us and helping us develop resources and materials to create groups of master gardeners that are helping homeowners, again, manage their lawns in a way that doesn't increase inputs into the local water system that eventually ends up into the Chesapeake Bay. And we anticipate this relationship to continue well into the future because of expected standards and some target goals that have to be met by 2017, and then again, I think, in 2025. The workload is actually overwhelming when we look at the numbers that we're expected to hit within those two target years, but we are putting our best foot forward and making some great strides in that, I think. The next one is, again, something that I didn't initiate. It was begun before I started in 2004 in my position as the state coordinator in Virginia for the Master Gardener Program. But our state association, and I know the opinions about state-level associations with master gardeners is quite varied, but overall I would say that the experience in Virginia has been positive. And they were the ones that actually approached the Virginia Tech Foundation through Virginia Tech and asked to set up an endowment fund for the state coordinator position. And without giving you the entire history, that position had been somewhat tenuous. It was vacant for 2 years prior to me coming in, and the state association just didn't want any more interruption in services from the state office if they could prevent that in the future. Their solution was to create an endowed chair for that position so that there would be some source of funding regardless of what was happening with the state budget. Excuse me. So the state association approached the foundation in 2005. We actually signed the endowment agreement in 2005. The goal was set to raise $1 million within 3 years. We started the process off with a gift of $50,000, which is a requirement by our foundation. Any endowed chair position, you have to come out of the gate with at least $50,000 to get their assistance in doing the fundraising. And just for clarification, they don't do the fundraising for you. They are a partner in it. They will assist you with it. But the state association is named as the donor in the agreement. And it's not that they have to physically come up with that $1 million, but they are very much expected to be involved in the process. So this was 2005. We have just hit the halfway mark. So we're not even all the way there yet, and this is 9 years later. That's a whole nother presentation that I don't have time to get into today, but there are a lot of lessons learned. There are many things that I would do differently. And matter of fact, one of our development officers within our college was speaking to a group recently and said, if we had it to do over again, we wouldn't do it the same way we did it. And I agree fully. The one lesson that I will share with you, unless you have about half of the money up front, I would not go the route of an endowment or the assurance of having half the money up front. That has been the uphill challenge all the way. And of that $500,000, a little over half of it is actual cash that is generating interest. The other half are deferred gifts that don't mature. That's the term they use in development if you haven't been in that realm. They don't mature until the person passes away. And it's not something that we want to expedite because most of the time these are the master gardeners that you love and love working with. So you don't want to see them meet their demise. So you don't want the gifts to mature, but you need the cash. So it's kind of a tough spot to be in. That's kind of cold, isn't it? I'm sorry. That's the reality of it, folks. But it has been a good process in some ways, and I actually went on the road myself and helped do some of the development visits, which was fun. At least in our experience, it's about developing relationships. It's not about the ask itself. And developing those relationships, again, with people that you've worked with can be quite fun. Just another couple of updates. In 2013, actually in 2012 and in 2013, we had an endowment reception in conjunction with our state conference, our Master Gardener College, and that was well received. In this, the image in the bottom left, the two gentlemen in the front of the crowd are actually from the development office. The younger gentleman is Ben Grove. He is in the College of Ag and Life Sciences development office. The other gentleman is with the foundation, so he is at the university level. And they were just talking to folks about, you know, other ways that you can give besides cold hard cash. And these little receptions, it was a small investment in money, and it actually turned out to our benefit because we had people giving us cash as a result of attending this reception. This year, actually just a few weeks ago at our annual conference, we had a recognition ceremony. We have levels of giving that are named after different trees because I'm a forester by training, not a horticulturist, but please don't hold that against me. And we recognized both individuals and organizations or the local associations that had given at different levels. And this is our extension director that we stole from NC State a couple years ago, Dr. Ed Jones, that was there for that, actually presenting the certificates with other administrators from both the college and the department. And the largest donor as an association, as you might expect, was our state association. So the image in the upper left corner is our recognition of the Virginia Master Gardener Association and their support for the organization and for the endowment. Dr. Richard Vayu is our acting department head while Roger Harris is on leave hiking the Appalachian Trail right now. The gentleman next to Dr. Vayu that's in the center is Bill McCaleb. He was the president of the Virginia Master Gardener Association in 2005 when the endowment agreement was signed. The gentleman next to me, to my left in the image, is the outgoing president of BMGA, and they were all there to receive recognition. And the images below are folks from representing other associations within the state. So, at this point, that's about right, Ellen. We were shooting for 15 minutes. At this point, I want to turn this into a little bit of an interactive session and ask you all, what are some novel ways that you have sought and acquired funding for consumer horticulture in your state? So,
before you open it up, can you say, you know, we after we went to the workshop and we split up and we got our assignment to look for funding at these different organizations, we were largely unsuccessful. Can you comment on that? I mean, what were some of the issues and reasons why
we were unsuccessful?
Yeah.
Oh. You're asking one opinion out of seven. Okay. I think there's two, and Rick can attest to this. It's hard to find somebody that's willing to take the lead on developing a project. Rick Durham and Lucy Bradley from NC State pretty much have ridden herd over our group for the two or three years that we've been working. And they have been encouraging and pushing all of us to try to step up and take the lead on submitting a proposal. And all the work can't fall to Rick and Lucy. So I think one of the challenges is one of us within the group stepping out and taking the lead on truly pursuing a proposal and seeing that to the end. I think that's one of the reasons that we have not seen the development of a project that's gotten to the state of being funded. The other, it's the same mantra that we all say, we're all busy. You know, we all have expectations within our state that we have to fulfill. Going back to what was Mary was saying, it's very encouraging to see, you know, specialists step up and work across state lines and get recognition for it within their state. So I think those are probably two of the largest challenges that we faced as a group, is just, again, focusing on a single topic that is achievable within a short period of time, and having somebody take the lead on that. So, Rick, I don't know if you want to...
Well, I might be stealing my own thunder from later, but I think a real big problem is that there's no clear roadmap for consumer horticulture. There's no national guidelines. There's no national strategic plan. In some cases, in our own states, we don't have strategic plans in So it's kind of shooting, you know, at a moving target, or maybe even shooting at a moving target in the dark to figure out, you know, what we're going to do will attract funding. You know, so.
Yeah.
And what was your response to the foundation?
In looking at that, the difficulty that I ran into was most of the projects that were being funded were of international scale. Unless you were doing something in a developing country, it was going to be very difficult for us to put together a proposal that would probably even be considered by the Gates Foundation. Before I dug into it, I felt like it was probably a pretty good shot, because the Gates Foundation is very much interested in health and nutrition issues, and they are investing a lot of money in that. And there are some domestic programs, so I don't want to paint the picture that there aren't opportunities here within the states. But the domestic programs that I saw that were being funded were really outside of the scope of what our group had the expertise or the capability to do. Now, there may be other foundations out there, and there likely are, but that's as far as I took my research.
I just wanted to ask in more detail about that first initiative with the National Park Service. You know, I just think of them as really federal and not state, and so that's kind of surprising, but obviously, people are allowed to burn in Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. And so Minnesota, you can't do burning. So that wouldn't work very well for us. But do you think that's applicable to other states?
I would think so, yes. And the reason that we ended up with that particular relationship, again, it was partially in place before I came on board. So the previous consumer hort specialist had developed a relationship with a specific individual within the National Park Service, and they laid the groundwork for the work that we were able to continue to do and where we built beyond that. But yes, I do think it is applicable. Matter of fact, I've given presentations to fire groups. I was in Hershey, Pennsylvania a few years ago, or not Hershey. Anyway, I was in Pennsylvania a few years ago talking to a group of folks on wildland urban fire, and our particular fire specialist within our Department of Forestry for the state has taken the Smart Yard Care book all over the country, and so, yeah, it is applicable outside of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Gary.
I'll just comment that I'm part of another working group, the Southern Nursery IPM Working Group. And the solution for leadership in that working group was that a number of folks were assistant professors, so they were looking to establish a sort of regional and national reputation. It was easy for those individuals to be selected to be a leader on a grant project or whatever. And I don't know if we have that option, but that's how it worked in that particular working group.
Okay. Good comments. Any other novel funding sources that you've experienced or... Rhoda?
You mentioned SARE in there, and I don't know if you've got anything from them. We've got small amounts, like a couple thousand dollars, just about every year, because there's a pool of professional development within each state, and our state coordinator seems to have a hard time studying that, so we've used it for master gardener training, for conferences, bringing in speakers, that sort of thing.
Okay. Any other, and then I'll move on to the next. This is just some shameless self-promotion. If you have any interest in the endowment process, there are a couple of places that you can go and see what we have done, the history of it, and how people can be involved today. But that kind of leads, and I think this is what Ellen was trying to get me to talk about, and I just didn't get through the thick head this morning. So what's next then for consumer horticulture? We actually have a meeting tomorrow, so if you have nothing better to do on your Friday, we're going to be meeting at the local extension office from 8 to 3, and we're going to go through some of the things that Rick was talking about, trying to create that roadmap for consumer horticulture at the national level. Now, our group was born out of the southern region, but it does not have to exclusively be folks from the southern region that participate. We are heavy on the extension side. We could really use some additional help on the research side. So if you're interested in becoming a part of our group, which it is a fun group, I can honestly say, it's got some great people to work with that's involved, then I would encourage you to come join us tomorrow and help us build that roadmap so that we can get some national level recognition for consumer horticulture and develop a plan that would give us solid footing to have a place at the funding table for whatever agency or foundation that we pursue. So, yes, ma'am.
What if you're interested in that, but you're not available tomorrow from 8 to 3?
I'll talk about that. Yeah, I don't want to steal into what Rick's going to talk about, but we can make sure you get involved. Okay, any other questions? All right, thank you very much.